Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
I am Keith Finch.
I'm Joey Ferguson.
And you are listening to Gun Day Brunch. This is actually episode 189. Our Gen Z Joey got the numbers wrong in the last few episodes, but I promise you, this is actually our 189th episode. Now, did he get the episode numbers wrong? Because I might have forgot to have sent him a video file for an episode that was recorded and thus didn't get uploaded to the video streams. We'll never know. It's a mystery. An unsolvable mystery.
Kind of like today's thought of the day from me, which is the seriousness, the scope, and the progress made in a business call or stream is not in any way correlated to wearing pants.
No, I absolutely agree with that. speaking of not wearing pants, it is really nice. So I've been in Europe for the past week and a half, specifically in the lovely country of Ireland, which is great. It's full of wonderful people. Everything's beautiful. But I need Europe to figure something the fuck out. And this is actually really important because I understand in Ireland, it doesn't get as hot during any given day as it will get in, you know, South Carolina, right? Where right now, I believe the actual temperature reading is, it just says, go fuck yourself on my thermometer.
Yeah, it is still a two-digit temperature, but it looks like N and O.
Yeah, I had bought, so before I left on this vacation, I had bought some new tires for the bicycle that I ride for fitness, and I wanted to put them on today so I could ride tomorrow since I'm home from my vacation. I had to do it in 15-minute shifts because I would get so hot and sweaty outside that my hands are slipping off the tools and all that. I'm like, I'm going back inside. It's terrible. But back to my point. So I learned a fun fact while I was on this vacation, and that's more people die in Europe from heat than die in the United States from all firearms-related causes. And it's not even fucking close. It's a huge number. And I need Ireland and Europe in general to figure out this little invention called air conditioning, right? Now, it wasn't so bad when we were in our relative's family home in the Midlands because their windows actually open. But if you're staying in a hotel in Ireland that doesn't have air conditioning, that hotel windows are regulated by the EU. And as we all know, the EU is run by retards, just like every other governmental organization, which means
you get above a certain level and all of a sudden
can't open
is required
the fucking windows. So yeah, is it 65 degrees outside? Great. 75 in my hotel room, and since there's no air conditioning, the air's not moving around. And if you've ever been in a 75 degree room where the air's not moving around, it's uncomfortable. And I can't open fucking windows wide enough to get any fucking airflow because, God forbid, I might throw myself out of a second story window, heavens to Murgatroyd. And if they had
Caleb,
even,
that's almost three stories. It's extra dangerous.
If they had the least bit of human decency, okay, fine. We don't have AC. You can't open the friggin' windows wide enough to make a difference. Put a fan in the room. Just one of those rotating Harman Kardon $30 tower fans. Just let me get a little motherfucking airflow. For the love of God. It was, I mean, again, I love the country. I love the people. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, fucking Europe. Da, 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 da. I really do like Europe. I like traveling over there. But you guys have got to fix this air conditioning thing. Like, especially if you're, you know, the sort of person that's like, the world's getting warmer and we're all going to die. Cool. Give me air conditioning. Anyway, that's my European travel rant done with. And moving on to what we're going to talk about today, I have a set of 30 millimeter scope rings sitting on my workbench, and I have a rifle that has no optic on it. So clearly, the sensible thing is to go buy a reasonably affordable LPVO to put in those 30 millimeter scope rings. When I was looking on the internet webs, specifically on a retail website that is, doesn't sponsor us, so I won't say their name, but I'm Larry Potterfield and thanks for your paycheck. So you know where that what I'm talking about. And just off the rip, Vortex, Burris, and Leupold all have 1x6s in this $300 price range. I've shot all three of these scopes in this $300 price range, and they're all good. Like they're all better than a $600 scope was 20 years ago. And I don't,
They're in
I,
some instances better than a $600 scope was 10 years ago.
and so Keith, you are a rifle nerd. I am occasional rifle tourist. How did we end up with three, with not one, not two, not three, but four or five $300 LPVO options, none of which suck?
Because we have beautifully, in my opinion, entered kind of the golden age of optics, specifically LPVO optics, which have been the culmination of the golden age of 9mm and the golden age of 5.56 guns, where like we settled on these formats. And the 1-6 is a wonderful format. It's in the Department of Defense, it's all over law enforcement circles. The 1-6 is a wonderful thing to put on middle caliber rifles. And so these companies have figured out that if you make a decent one at a very decent price, you sell a lot of them. It does not need to be fancy. It does not need to have all the bells and whistles of like a Razor 3. Cutting edge scopes are still going to be cutting edge scopes, and they're still going to be, expensive, and there's going to be a market for that. But to service the market in general, the $300 LPVO has now landed in this wonderfully just fine spot. It is fine. We have the equivalent of a Glock handgun for optics now, for a 1-6 optic. We have a format. So I'll even change that. We don't have the equivalent of a Glock handgun. We have the equivalent of the Striker Duty 9. We have the equivalent of the Striker Duty 9 now in optics too. And we've had it for dots for a while. Like the Aimpoint Pro was one, some of the Trigicon offerings. Like there were good dots in this like middle price point. Holosun, shout out to those guys. But we didn't have glass was still catching up. LPVOs, scopes were still catching up. Now they are here. They are with us. So you can go get a very reasonably priced rifle, semi-automatic, lever action, bolt action. You can get a very reasonably priced piece of glass in the 1-6 range. And you can even get reasonably priced suppressors and lights, throw this all together into a completely functional, no extraneous bells and whistles because you don't need them type package.
Now, having said all of that, $300 scopes. So the gun I'm putting this on for people who are wondering is the Rossi LWC. And Rossi, while not technically a sponsor of the show, is a sister company of Taurus USA, who is a sponsor of the show. The show is also sponsored by Bleecker Street. So, go check out all of that fun stuff. The rifle I'm putting this on is Rossi LWC in 44 Magnum. It is a lightweight single shot rifle, runs about $300. And as I was sitting in a blind a couple of months ago with a red dot on a gun, I was thinking, man, given the fact that this is only a 56 yard shot to the thing that I was, camped out over, I don't need a scope. But also, given how precise I like this shot, I wouldn't mind being able to dial a little magnification right now, which is sort of what sent me down this train. And to me, the idea of like a $300 LPVO on a $300 rifle perfectly makes sense. However, pause for the bit. Should I put a Zeiss Victory V8 on it, which is a 1x8, but is 3 grand?
Clearly, for the bit, that would be an excellent thing. On top of that, if you get tired of the bit, which often you don't, but if you get tired of the bit, I know other rifles in your possession that would go wonderfully on. And I will say that once I got into high-end optical glass, I have never regretted purchasing high-end optical glass because while the $300 scopes now are good, they're durable, they're reliable, they hold zero. There is something to be said, especially for eyes as wizened as ours, for really good glass.
Well, and that's sort of, that's kind of the thing I was going to ask, right? So, like, let's say my budget is more than $300, and why should, so we'll talk about, in this comparable, product field, right? So, you've got the Vortex, you've got the Burris, you've got the SIG, you've got the, I'm missing one. Vortex, Burris, SIG, Leupold, whatever.
Like I
Bushnell,
figure
primary arms,
yeah, there's PA scopes in there. There's not Zeiss, Meopta. Meopta does a voice that's pretty darn close to that range.
So I've got all of these, like, affordable $300-ish 1x6s. Why should I, or not even why should I? What's the value prop in me going from one of those affordable 1x6s up to, and I'm gonna, in that same sort of one by whatever, in that same LPVO world, why should I go get a VCOG instead? Like the Trigicon VCOG as an example, which is, $2,000.
It is 2 grand. The 1 to 8 version pushes 3 grand. I have that on a 13-inch Galil 5.56 rocket lock because if I'm going to do it for the bit, I'm going to do it for the whole bit. And
I commit to the
it is a truly wonderful scope that is several magnitudes more durable than I need.
bit.
But sometimes, one, the glass in that thing is phenomenal. I can see why Trigicon has always done very, very well with their glass. Joey runs a Trigicon, a couple of his guns, and the reason is not only are they local to us here in Michigan, but the glass. So, the reason boils down to it is a quality, it's a QOL, it is a quality of life improvement. You can get baseline function much, much cheaper. But I learned long ago, and we're gonna throw a rule that Caleb came up with into this chat, and it's Caleb's rule of $100 hotels. You remember that? Do
Oh
you not?
yeah. Yes, I
Caleb's rule
do.
of $100 hotels. If your room is more than $100, at least here, like here in the States, you are probably fine. You're in a Hampton, you're in a Holiday Inn Express, you are in somewhere that is comfortable and you can get coffee and there might be a okay continental breakfast or an attached like Denny's or something. You're going to have a good time. If you are in a hotel
There
that costs
isn't a Waffle House in the parking lot, right? Like, it
correct.
doesn't share a parking lot with the Waffle House.
If you are in a hotel room that costs less than $100, you are rolling the dice. And so, is that 30 to 50 to maybe even $150 to go to the nicer spot and get out of the sub $100 hotel room worth the quality of life? Going into optics, yes, we're talking about more expensive products now than just a night, comfortable and not getting stabbed by Metheny in the parking lot.
Oh, Metheny.
Oh, Metheny. But it boils down to a quality of life thing and just user experience. There is something to be said for if you like it, you can get it. You would need no other reason than liking the thing. And by going into these higher end optics, you are going to get improved quality of life with just health and interaction with your eye in most cases. You're going to get better sight picture, better sight clarity. The durability is probably fine, beyond fine on all of these things. On top of that, service and warranty on all of them is usually spot on. Like, hey, it fell out of the tree stand or it tipped over. I busted it. What can we do? There's usually a very simple process. Sometimes it costs money. Sometimes it's completely covered by warranty. In almost every instance, it is a fraction of the hassle of purchasing the original, minus the communication back and forth of getting the warranty done. So the getting good optics is entirely quality of life. for us here. Now, in a professional sense, getting good quality optics has, more life or death connotations, more liability connotations, and everything like that. The Marine Corps uses a VCOG because it's damn near indestructible. It is the closest thing to marine proof. You can make a device that has moving parts. If it has moving parts, the Marines will break it.
And also possibly impregnate it.
Yes, possibly impregnate, but assuredly break. And in many instances, if it does not have moving parts, the Marines will break it. They will invent a moving part that's not supposed to be there.
Or they will take a thing that has no moving parts and turn it into a thing with lots of moving parts. Like, why does this rattle? This shouldn't rattle. What did you do to it?
I have experienced many a rattly ACOG.
Too many
Yes.
Uggadugas.
So many Uggadugas. So many.
Listen,
And it's like, what
so
did you do? Well, I know that the arrow said up, and I know that it needed to go down because I'm smart.
oh no.
No. Oh.
So that's one of the, speaking of rules of mine, the $100 hotel rule. I also may need to revise that like to the $150 hotel rule in this
God,
economy,
inflation's a
but
bitch.
it's just like, RIP to the to Jack, but his my bad 20, that might be need to be like a my bad 50. The economy's not great,
Yeah.
guys. Like,
The MBF as opposed to the MBT, like
yeah.
the MBF definitely puts you in a different category of it'll be fine without still putting you out. So yeah, like inflation is a bitch.
Yeah.
RIP Jack, we're sorry that your 20 is not worth what it once was. We fucked it up, world.
But back to the topic of well, one first back to the topic of Uggadugas, right? Like, because so I'm sure you've heard the theory of about electronics that if you let all of and also cars that if you let all of the good smoke out of it, it's not going to work anymore, right? Like if you're doing a thing with electronics and smoke shoots out of it and it's too much smoke, you'll never get it to work again. But if it's just a little bit of smoke, it's probably going to be okay, right? This same rule applies to Uggadugas, guys. Your equipment, especially anything that has torque specs, is only rated for so many Uggadugas over its lifetime. And if you give it, and one day you're going to be like, oh, this is, this, oh yeah, this is super tight. This is, and then you're going to hear a,
And then
and
it's going to
some,
move really
it's
easily
going to move
beyond that. And you're
really
going to go,
easily.
is that fine? And it's not fine.
It's
Yes,
not fine.
it is
It's
not
not
fine.
fine. Something in there has given up on life, which is why I am not sponsored by Warn or not Warn. Frick, who's the company? It's just out of reach. Get a torque wrench, guys. Like, get Fix It Sticks makes a small one. There's one, I think it's Warner, the Fat Wrench. I forget
There's
who.
the fat wrench, there's the
Yeah.
digital fat wrench.
Yeah. But for real, get a torque wrench because that's how you know that you have not exceeded the lifetime number of Uggadugas that that screw or that mount or that part is rated for. And also,
Look, the quick, fast, down and dirty hand tight plus a quarter, especially on like a hunting rifle or something like that, where you're just getting it out because it'll work. But
and I'm especially an advocate for it for pistol mounted optics because while pistol mounted optics now are way tougher than they used to be, right? I remember back in the day that if you Uggadugga'd like even an RMR or something like that, you could flex the housing, which would affect the optics ability to hold zero and a bunch of other stuff. So, get a torque wrench so you don't mess up your thing. And I think that applies too when you're dealing with these like $300 scopes, right? It's, and even in, take Leupold for example. In the Leupold lineup, you have everything from the $300 like VX Freedoms, which are really good scopes, all the way up to, $2,500 scopes, which are really, 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 really good scopes. It is not a stretch of the imagination to think that the VX Freedom is going to be slightly less durable to however you're mounting it. So maybe it's going to be easier to over Uggadugga your VX Freedom and crimp that tube. And I don't know enough about optics, but I'm pretty sure that crimping the tube is bad.
Generally, not the good. You do not want to crush the things that are very precisely aligned that make them do the C.
So we've
The
added three moving parts to this Leupold scope. How? We tightened it.
agreement.
Why does it? Why does it rattle? Great question. Don't ask me that. Now, I think the last thing, on this topic of optics that, well, I'll ask you guys about, because again, I say I don't really do rifles. Almost all of the guns I've bought recently have been rifles, but
He doesn't do rifles as he picks up another
as
rifle.
I get another rifle. So with the exception of one gun, which has a Leupold 3x12 on it, which is a really, really, or two guns, which one's got like a crazy fucking scope I got from Primary Arms with like their, I think it's their Athena reticle in it, and it's got mils in it, which, oh, by the way, here's the best explanation of mils that I'm ever going to give anyone from somebody who doesn't do scopes. Mils is like MOA, except it's metric. But unlike the rest of the metric system, it actually fucking works, so you don't have to feel gay for liking it. That's Mills versus MOA, guys. There you go. You're
The wonderful thing about that in reality is mils are metric on accident.
Yeah, that's I found that out. I was like, wait, you because MOA is not an on accident thing. It's based
No,
off the Imperial system.
MOA is very, very much tied to the Imperial system, but mils are metric on accident. They line up to the metric system very closely, but in a very roundabout, literally round the world, radians. They are not part of the standard metric system. They just happen to align because milliradians and kilometers were both about the diameter of the planet.
I hate everything about that explanation. It's so
Or
upsetting.
rate radius, diameter,
It's
circumference,
whatever.
R words,
Science.
round thing.
Real hole.
Parabola. So the last thing, so with the exception of the crazy cool Primary Arms scope, and Primary Arms, I know you guys do actually listen to this. I promise you I'm going to go zero that optic and generate some content with it on my 6.5 Creedmoor just as soon as I zero the other four guns that need to be zeroed and do content for all of the things I need to do content for. I promise. I love you guys. You're great. You really are. I love Primary Arms. With that, the exception of that and the
Speaking of metric,
loophole.
there's an MP5 in the group chat right now, and I'm like, sometimes metric good.
The everything else I have has a red dot on it, ranging in quality from, let me rephrase this, ranging in price point from Primary Arms all the way up to aim point, right? Why should I not just go buy another micro H2 and put that on this 44 Magnum? Like, make the use case for this gun, a single shot 44 Magnum, to have an LPVO over yet another aim point red dot. Because also putting a $900 red dot on this gun is absolutely for the bit, and I have yet to get tired of doing that.
No, that is a beautiful thing to do for the bit. I would also encourage high-end thermals again for the bit.
Oh, I've thought about that because I want to use this gun for
Because
a hog hunt, and those sons of
oh
bitches
yeah.
come out after dark.
Oh yeah. Because the optical concept, yes, the optic and the gun work together. But the old rule of like, oh, well, your optic should cost at least half the price of the gun or match the price of the gun or whatever version of that rule you've recently heard that you subscribe as part of your, esoteric, unfailable gun knowledge. The optic has a specific job. And the optic needs to match its job and then combine with the rifle. So you already made the use case. I don't have to make the use case. You already made the use case. You had a roughly 56-yard shot and you were looking through the dot and going, this works, but a closer sight picture would make me happier.
Yeah, I mean,
And
you know what?
that's a lot of the reason that LPVOs are entering military and law enforcement service, right? Because our eyes, regardless of how good or how bad they are, we have a pretty hard limit of about 50 meters where unassisted, we're losing a lot of detail.
You know what I would like? and this is related to all of this, is for Aimpoint, and I don't know how they would science the shit out of this thing, but for Aimpoint to make a mount for their three power magnifier that is not AR height, right? Because a also the problem that I've run into, and the reason why, for example, my 4570, which has a micro H2 on it, does not have just an Aimpoint swingover 3x magnifier on it, is because there is no 3x swingover magnifier mount that lines up with the height of the actual optic on a lever gun. They're all designed for ARs, and I accept, before you guys jump me in the comments, I accept I am the weirdo here, okay? I understand that Keith has gone into some sort of weird loop where he looks like a Pirates of the Caribbean animatronic. Like you were, I don't know what you were reading, but you were sitting there and your head was moving like this. And I'm like, is he okay?
Sorry, guys.
But no, I fully accept that I'm the weirdo and that wanting a three power magnifier on a lever gun on a red dot is degenerate behavior, but this is me we're talking about here, so that's kind of my vibe. So anyway, Aimpoint, do this one very special thing just for me and I'll buy it. No one else will, because no one wants that but me, but I'll buy it, I promise you. But I think that's been, no, and it's funny because, you know, we talk about the golden age of a lot of stuff, right? We have been. And it's easy sometimes to look at the state of the industry, the state of the economy, the state of all of this other stuff, and be like, things are terrible. And some things are terrible. But like the lack of air conditioning in fucking Europe is terrible.
That is in fact terrible.
But like, I can honestly say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there has never been a better time to be a firearms enthusiast slash consumer, because there's more good shit out there at reasonable prices than there has ever been at any point in my life. Like,
It bar none. You can go all the way back to the days of cheap Wazzers in crates. It wasn't as good as this, guys. It
no.
wasn't. That was a niche, like that was a niche thing that only applied to a few people at the time who wanted to deal with 7.62 by 39, and have the quality of quantity try and take over, and wanted AK that may or may not be built to spec. Usually are now, but I will take today and the inflated prices of today over any other time I can recall.
Well, and I'm even like, you know, and this isn't just my usual niche that I'm thinking about, right? Like, I was going through some content earlier looking for, you know, stuff to clip into YouTube Shorts and whatnot. And I found video of me shooting at 1,000 yards with the Taurus Expedition in 308, right? The gun and the scope setup that I'm using to shoot at 1,000 yards, retail costs, not MSRP, but what you would actually pay for them at a gun store, was like $1,200, okay? You could spend maybe $300, and I had to work with that scope because it didn't have, you know, MOA lines or mil lines or anything like that. So I was kind of guesstimating my holds. Cool. Pay $200 more, get a scope with MOA or mil lines in it, and all of a sudden for $1,500, and get the 6.5 Creedmoor gun because it's better at long range. But for $1,500, you have a combination that you can go out, once you get dialed in, you can reliably and accurately shoot 1,000 yards with very, very minimal work. I remember when shooting 1,000 yards was like a god tier reserved for turbo rifle nerds things, and now you can basically just fucking plug and play a gun kit for it, and it's fuck. And this is not just me being a Taurus supremacist, even though they pay my mortgage. There's a shitload of really good, really accurate guns out there for like a grand. Like, cool.
And because we've not only improved rifle manufacturing and we've improved glass and the features inside glass, and we've improved calibers, because 6.5 is now this off-the-shelf sub-minute, just reach out and poke stuff, high efficiency caliber. Are there better calibers? Yes, but then we get into the super expensive niche, hand-loaded stuff to tighten it all up. And if that's your thing, awesome. It's cool. But for the majority of consumers who need the plug and play method, because that's their use case. It's really good to be in like, oh, I can set up a $1,000 gun without putting in a lot of effort to it. It's just follow this formula.
I think the title for this episode will be the quote from the Lego Movie, "Everything is awesome." Because again, they're really, my little wander down Midway, USA, about to give them a bunch of money for a rifle scope, and kind of wandering down this rabbit hole of being like, there's a ton of really good optics out there for not a lot of money. This is awesome. And but then, think about it. Like I said, bolt guns, there's a bunch of really good bolt guns out there for not a lot of money. We know 9mm handguns. Holy cow. Even now, concealed carry revolvers, like the Ruger LCR is still great. Our guns are great. Like, you want a revolver? Cool.
Yeah, you
Go
can
get
get
one.
yourself a sh shorty 5 or 6 shot that's going to be super comfortable, plenty reliable, plenty accurate, and 38, and enjoy life. Get that, a matching holster, and go forth.
Yep. Well, guys, that's about it for this episode. Everything is awesome. I managed to go an entire episode without saying anything mean about Sig Sauer because my boss asked me not to, and I'm also in the weird position with the Air Force where I know stuff that, I did it, and I'm proud of myself.
We appreciate you, Caleb. We took care of that the other episode where we said, like, hey, buddy, how's it feeling over there? And kind of poked it with a stick.
Let me just I tell you what, I will say this. I would not want to work in SIG's PR department right now.
I'm sure that is not a great room to be inside day to day at the current moment.
I'm just turning my phones off. Just nope, we're done. I'm out. But anyway, guys, that's it for this week. If you would like to share with us your thoughts on something that is awesome, please leave it in the comments where this is uploaded on the video format, which is Keith, tell them where to go watch our stupid faces.
Our stupid faces are available on Open Air Media. Jilly, our wonderful producer, will take care of that part of the upload as we do the boomer stuff with the audio.
And speaking of the boomer stuff with the audio, we got a couple episodes dumped out today that this is being recorded. So there's going to be a three pack of episodes that will go up today. We're getting a little caught up from being behind. There was a slight glitch, and this one is on me. I had the two episodes that you guys did saved as drafts in the device to publish them instead of actually hitting publish. Whoopsie doodle. But you're going to get a bunch of episodes today on all of your streaming platforms, iTunes podcasts or Apple podcasts, sorry, on Apple podcasts and on Spotify. If you are listening on Apple podcasts and Spotify, please make sure that you give us a old 5-star review and leave us a positive review because that is one way we can still fight the power because that algorithm doesn't hate gun content yet. Anyway, guys, that's it for this week. We will be back next week with another episode of Gun Day Brunch.